After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
In the Scottish Premiership, Celtic 1, Dundee 0. Hibernian 0, Aberdeen 1. Hamilton 1, Motherwell 2. Partick Thistle 0, Kilmarnock 2. And Ross County 1, Hearts 2. In the Scottish Championship, Brechin City 0, Morton 1. Dumbarton 0, St Mirren 2. Falkirk 0, Inverness Cali Thistle 0. Livingston 2, Dundee United 0. And Queen of the South 0, Dunfermline 0. In Scottish League 1, Ayr United 2, Airdrieonians 2, East Fife 5, Albion Rovers 4, Queen's Park 1, Forfar 1, Raith Rovers 2, Arbroath 0, and Stranraer 2, Allo Athletic 0. English Premier League, Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0, Burnley 1, West Ham 1, Crystal Palace 2, Chelsea 1, Manchester City 7, Stoke City 2, Swansea City 2, Huddersfield 0, and Spurs 1, Bournemouth 0.
That's your rate up to speed, and the phone lines are open, so get in touch. I'm sure some of you are just coming out of the games. Let us know what you saw today. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, was it all about getting the win? The win is in the bag, 3 points. You managed to keep the unbeaten run going, or does the margin of victory concern you ahead of a trip to Munich, of all places, in the Champions League through the week? What about Partick Thistle fans? Where is it all going wrong? Looking very grim indeed. Motherwell fans, bragging rights for you in the Lanarkshire derby. Anything at all, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Hugh Keevans, what will be on the minds of the Scottish football fan tonight?
The Celtic fans, of course, will be looking ahead to the Champions League. They're up 59 games now, unbeaten domestically speaking. How long can it go on? Do Hibs pose a threat to Celtic? A week today in the semi-final of the Cup. And at the other end of the spectrum, Partick Thistle fans, 14 games in a row, no wins. Five of them at the end of last season when Partick Thistle were in the top six. Now that was a high watermark for Partick Thistle. They're now at the low watermark. They're rock bottom of the division. Kilmarnock will get a new manager and a 3 point start on them.
Okay, to the phone lines we go then. 0141 951 1025. Alec is in Parkhead. Alec, what did you make of that game today?
Obviously, just talking about is it more about the 3 points and about, obviously, you know, the performance, whatever. When I think they make the amount of changes that Celtic's having to make with between injuries and players being away in international, you know, for me today it was all about just getting the 3 points. I think it's different if you've got a full squad, your Browns and everybody all playing, then you can maybe look for a performance. But you get the 3 points, you move on to Bayern Munich on Wednesday. Obviously, we've got Hibs on Saturday. I thought we Patrick Roberts today was outstanding. Every time we get the ball, if he didn't get by the boy, he was just getting put up in the air. But he just keeps on coming back for more. De Vries and goals, made 3 great saves, which is obviously a credit to Dundee. But that's what he's there for. So obviously, you know, any concerns before the game, you know, he clearly showed his ability to keep the ball at the net. But overall, you know, I'm delighted, and I knew just look forward to Tuesday.
Gordon DL, based on what you saw today, how does that sort of match up with Alex's assessment of the game?
Yeah, I think he's right. I think that Celtic looked very good attacking. That's never going to be a problem. Where I would be worried going into Wednesday night's game is Dundee created a right few chances second half. 3 really good ones. The one with Deacon, he really should score. Take nothing away from De Vries, he just stood there. But Deacon, if you're a decent striker and you're going to put the ball in the back of the net, it was easy for you. It was glaring. He should score. He should give his team a goal. I think a better quality of player today, no disrespect to Dundee players, with the chances they created, they'd have put the ball in the back of the net. Celtic created a lot of chances themselves, only for Scott Bain. You know, Celtic maybe have scored 3, 4, even 5 this afternoon. But it was a mixture of, and I said in the first half, and it was the same in the second half, bad finishing for me. You look at Lee Griffiths, a guy that you always expect to put the ball in the back of the net. He's got a terrific opportunity. Scott Bain makes a very good save, but I'm expecting the quality of Griffiths to put that in. But if I was Brendan Rodgers, I'd be concerned. We touch on it all the time. Beaton, domestically, is decent enough to go and play centre-half, although I thought the pairing today didn't work because Dundee created chances. But when you go into a Champions League game against the quality of Bayern Munich, I think you may have problems with that partnership if you have to play it.
Gordon, would you say, in fact, it would be unfair to play near beat on against a Bayern Munich side in Germany, a Bayern Munich side who have scored 5 goals without reply today?
Hugh, you never know. He might just step up to the plate.
But I mean, they do expect Simonovic to be fit.
Yeah, I would certainly hope it for Celtic's sake and the supporters and everybody concerned for Scotland. Then I would hope he was fit. Beaton's a midfield player. You can see that. Sometimes you get a little bit. I look at Celtic at times, they get a little bit slack at times because they're so comfortable, they've got so much of the ball, they're so much on top. But take nothing away from Dundee. We always talk about the likes of Celtic at home. I thought Dundee's second half, brave as lions, went out, even when they went one down to Cham's fantastic goal. What a swerve, this ball's got Scott Bain's no chance. But they kept going. They kept at Celtic. They put men forward. They created a few chances. And as I say, when you watch the highlights back, guys, you'll be saying to me, Deacon must put the ball in the back of it.
Alec, did you see anything that concerned you ahead of Wednesday night? Or is that an old-fashioned free hit, as they say? Just go there, see what happens and concentrate on getting third place.
No, obviously, you know, I'll be looking, I'll be hoping that maybe Simonovic and Beata's back. And if you've got there too, you know, you've got to remember, we're playing Bayern Munich. It doesn't matter, you know, their form being indifferent, you know, they'll get quality off through their team. So I would love to get there and maybe get a draw. But the most important thing is, I'm going to be sitting on a Tuesday night at 7:45 watching Celtic playing against Bayern Munich with the Champions League. You know, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, you have a long wait. It's on Wednesday.
is it Wednesday?
I don't know. Is it actually?
Yeah, Wednesday night, yes. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, that's 100%.
Alex Wednesday. Seems pretty sure.
Wednesday.
I thought at half time it showed you the fixture list. All right, then, okay.
Alec, you can try and watch it on Tuesday if you like. Let us know how it goes. Good man. Thanks to Alec, the Celtic fan, for that assessment. Not too concerned with what he witnessed today. And I suppose, on one hand, you might say, why would you be? Celtic 59 games unbeaten, 3 points in the bag. Move on to the Champions League.
Alec's a regular caller here, and we know how deeply committed he is when it comes to Celtic. But even Alec is saying it. The best, the very, very best they would hope for is a draw. But I don't think it matters. Unless it was an absolute hiding, a demoralising hiding. I don't think it matters, because the only match that matters in this group is Anderlecht in Glasgow, the 5th of November. That's the match that will carry Celtic into the Europa League and therefore into Europe after Christmas, and therefore more earnings.
Hugh, we touched on the centre defence there, the pairings at the back.
Yeah.
The one thing that was clear today for me, and every time I've watched Celtic, and it's not just down to one guy, but he brings so much to this team, is their captain, Scott Brown.
Yeah.
When he's not in that park, it's a different Celtic team. When he's on there, the organisation, that he drags people about when they're having poor games and they're off the pace, he demands such great standards off these fellow teammates. He's got to be a definite if they go to Germany. He's got to play in this side.
Okay, Motherwell fans, how are you feeling about the bragging rights you've got in the Lanarkshire Derby, and how does that set you up for this League Cup semi-final next week? Give us a call, 01419511025, because we're going to hear from your manager, Stephen Robinson. He's been speaking to us following that win at the Super Seal Stadium.
We knew what it was going to be. Picked a team to scrap and battle and fight, and it's hard to take a touch on that pitch. You know, it's a hard pitch at level things, but we played the game the way we wanted to. We reduced it to scraps like we knew they would, but I thought we outscrapped them and outbattled them, and I think we thoroughly deserved the win in the end. A hard place to come to.
Could have won before, actually.
Yeah, there was a lot of chances from set plays, you know, with some half chance as well. Boise's chance at the end, said he got it lost in the floodlight, so we'll let him away with that one. But I think it just shows the quality of the squad when Elliot Freer and Biggie are coming on, and you know, the ball from Elliot at the end for Boise just looks at the quality we have on the bench as well.
Did you feel it was going to get away for you when you kind of pummeled them and then lost the first goal? Did you think it might be one of those days?
Not really, no, because we've got a group of boys that don't give up. They just don't give up, and we said to them, like, whatever the result is, you keep doing the same things, you don't change what you're doing. And they didn't, you know, and they don't drop their heads. Obviously, when you don't take your chances, with a lot of set plays went in with chances that we didn't take, so yeah, you look at it and think maybe it might be one of those days, but you know, we fought quite well.
That's your fourth in the league in a semi-final next weekend. How big a season can this be for the club?
Well, listen, we'll worry about the semi-final now. We can concentrate on that. So we've got a chance to get to the final, which is a great opportunity for us, and you know, hopefully one we can take. Everything ahead of that, we'll just take each game as it comes.
Man's done a tremendous job, but he speaks of this game today as out scrapping Hamilton Accies. It won't be about scrapping against Rangers. Motherwell will really have to play, I think. This is a Rangers side growing confidence. The man that nobody believes has settled in well, Carlos Pena, has got 4 goals in the last 2 or 3 matches. This will be about how well you can play on the day, how well Motherwell can manage the atmosphere of a semi-final against one of the Old Firm at Hampden. It will not be about scrapping. They'll need to play.
The big thing about Hamilton, that they can do that, turn up and scrap. Sometimes everybody wants to get into playing a nice game of football and play pretty football and score goals, but sometimes when you go to a place like Hamilton, the plastic pitch, all the work, it's a small stadium, you've got to pull your sleeves up and you've got to go and scrap there. And I think they can now do that. They can do scrap as well as playing.
It's a bonus for the manager when he knows that players can do that as well. And against Aberdeen, when we watched them the first game, Motherwell were absolutely outstanding, playing against a very, very strong Aberdeen side. Yeah. They never gave them a sniff on the day, you know, and beat them convincingly. That's what Rangers have got to keep in their mind. This is the team that they're going to be playing against.
Well, one man who won't be happy after the Lanarkshire derby is Colin in Hamilton. He's a Hamilton Accies fan. Colin, how are you feeling after that? Can you hear us, Colin? You with us?
Yes, I can.
Good stuff. How are you? Yep, got you.
How much time do you give a manager to embed his own team is my question. After Annan in the Scottish Cup in 15, we lost heavily to them in a 4-1. I thought Martin Cannon should have walked in. He's lost 5 in a row. I mean, how long do you actually give a manager to embed his own team?
Hugh Keevans.
Well, you know, Martin Cannon has an element within the support, small support, who just don't fancy him. And that's his particular cross to bear. And clearly Colin comes into that group. I have to worry, Colin, that you might have other things that concern you even more than the manager and 5 defeats in a row. But I hope the club gets through these problems. The question is best directed to Les Gray and Ronnie McDonald at Hamilton, because how do they feel about this situation? But all we can say is there is a growing trend now that when result after result is poor, then people do get nervous and changes are made.
Well, they've just got to look up across the road and Partick Thistle as well, bottom of the league. You know, they will be talked about, the managers. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. So I'll tell you what, and I think they did the right thing. The likes of Ross County got someone in right away. Kilmarnock have done well getting Stevie Clark, a man that's so experienced with good managers that he's learned from. He's up there, and his presence there has got Kilmarnock a victory at Partick Thistle. Other chairmen of clubs will be looking at and say, is that what we do?
Colin,
that's the problem.
Colin, you'll have heard all this before, that people say, well, Hamilton Accies, with the size of the club and the budget, the best they can hope for is to stay in the division, and Martin Canning has done that a couple of times. Why is that no longer good enough for you?
I disagree. I believe that Hamilton are now an established SPL club. Hamilton fans are sick of punching above our weight. We're the lowest budget, we're this and that. I agree with Derek, what he just said there. It's time to change the manager now, but it's still early in the season. I believe he's had his time, Martin Canning. He's not cut out for SPL football, and I do believe that a change of manager is now the time to do this.
I suppose then the obvious question, Colin, where should Hamilton be then in your mind? If fighting relegation alone is not good enough, what should the aspirations be for a club with such a small budget?
Personally, I think with the players they've got, I do believe the fan base is low, but with the players they've got at their disposal, I do believe we should be pushing for a top 6. I really do that.
Now, you're living in a fantasy world.
That's opinions, isn't it?
Yeah, well, but I really, with respect, that's a fantasy. How Hamilton, there were 1,700 Hamilton fans at the game today. There were more Motherwell fans than Hamilton fans. That's the extent of the apathy. I assume that most people in Hamilton go to watch Celtic and Rangers. So to talk about a top 6 place...
Sorry, Hugh. I don't believe the fan base has got anything to do with it. I'm talking about the players on the pitch. The players on the pitch for Hamilton are good enough to be a top 6 side. I believe with the right manager in charge and coaching them, would be a top six side. That's just my opinion.
Well, that is Colin's opinion. That's what we're here for. Thanks to Colin. 01419511025. Brian is in Lark Hollow and he disagrees. Good evening, Brian.
I can't believe what I just heard there. I'd said to the guy that answered the phone that I knew when Colin came on that he would be asking for the manager's head. And then he said that Hamilton are an established Premier League side. They aren't, you know, in my opinion. They're always fighting to stay in that league. And I think their manager's done well to keep them in that league. And then he says that they, with the right manager, they would then be a top six side. I'd love to have what he's having at the moment.
Yeah. I think the big thing, Brian, just now, when Colin came away with the statement there, they should be chasing them for the top six there. But when you're looking at the other sides that's chasing for the top six, when you've got Hearts sitting in seventh, you've got Dundee sitting in eighth, you've got Kilmarnock sitting 11th, Partick Thistle sitting 12th, Ross County 10th. So there's big, big clubs there. It's still trying, they're trying to get into the top six, never mind Hamilton with the lowest budget.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, Murdo, but it's very early, you know, the season. We're only 9 games in. And I'm old school. I think managers should be given more time.
Yeah.
And I'm a Rangers fan, as you probably know, and I know Pedro, the microscope has been on him, and rightly so, you know, as a Rangers manager, and some of the results have been up and down, but he has to be given, along with other managers, more time.
Well, as I say, it's yes, I agree, but it's not the current way of thinking. Ross County, Roy McGregor, a calm, composed man. He get rid of Jim McIntyre. Kilmarnock get rid of Lee McCullough. It's not the way things go. But the bottom line here is Colin, the earlier caller, does live in a fantasy world if he thinks that Hamilton Accies are or should be chasing top six. Every season, their only objective is survival.
Okay, thanks to Brian in Larkhall for that call. The manager's post-match reaction is making its way to us. We'll get them to you as soon as we possibly can. And George wants to say that Carlos Peña is a better signing than what people are giving him credit for. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly. The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson alongside me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL still at Celtic Park as well. Gordon, the stadium's all quiet, but anything happening there you want to tell us about?
Yeah, there's a training session going on, Gordon. I think it's very good news for every Celtic fan that's listening, with the big game coming up on Wednesday night against Bayern Munich, because apart from Lustig, every player is out doing a training session. And let me say, it's not a light training session. They are working very, very hard. You've got the likes of Scott Brown out there looking very good, Armstrong, Rogic, all these boys, every single one of them. About 13 of them on the pitch now. They're all going about with a ball. They're doing a lot of runs, a lot of good heavy work. And as I say, the only one that's missing is Lustig. And I think that'll be good news that the Celtic captain looks to be coming back to full fitness.
Yeah, Celtic fans will be happy with that news. And we'll get to Jim, who's a Celtic fan in Renfrew, just in a second. But before that, George is in Cambus Lang, wants to talk about Carlos Peña. What's your point, George?
Hi guys, just question for the panel. I'm a Rangers fan myself, and it's quite evident that Carlos Peña had a slow start. But do you guys not think that scoring a few more goals, he's actually come on in a game?
Derek, let's take yours, because the stats speak for themselves. I think it's 4 goals in his last 6. That's fine. What about the overall picture with Carlos Peña?
I think if he's scoring goals, then he deserves his place in the side, because that's what wins you games, you know. And he seems to be doing that, getting himself in the box. But as I say, if you're going to play a number 10, no matter what club, for you're needing something a wee bit more. You need to get involved in the play a lot more. You know, you've got to be clever. He hasn't really shown me that. For his goals, fine, and he should get a game because he's scoring goals, I'll grant you that. But I don't think he's been brilliant in the games. And saying that, as a striker, a lot of times when I played, I scored a goal and didn't do much else in games. But you scored the goals, and that's the important thing. He's doing that and winning games for the club. But I want him to, I'm still not convinced with his all-round play. His goals, fantastic. But as a number 10, for me, I'm looking to get for him to get more involved in the game. Rather than a wee bit here and a wee bit there, you know, get himself involved and get the passing going, get the runs into the box and everything else. He's still not convinced me he's a good football player. He's scoring goals, which is a huge bonus. And I think that's why he's getting his plays just now.
Do you recognise that, George? Are you fully satisfied with the performances? Derek's looking for a wee bit more despite the goals, but are you seeing enough so far?
Yeah, to be honest, I can see £3 million being repaid quite soon. I think if he keeps playing like this, it's not so long before he's in the Scotland squad.
I think he's got big tests to come. You know, when Celtic won at Ibrox, Peña was taken off, Kenny Miller was brought on. I think the tests will come when they go to Murrayfield to play Hearts
next week, perhaps at Hampden.
Hampden, yes, for sure. Cup semi-final and Aberdeen, and again when he plays Celtic at New Year.
Thanks to George in Cambus Lang, thinks that Carlos Peña doesn't get the credit he deserves, and he should get a Scotland call
yeah,
up.
That's so summed it up.
Get a Scottish granny, maybe Mrs. Peña. I don't know. Jim is a Celtic fan in Renfrew. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, panel. How's it going, Murdo? You okay?
Aye, very good, Jim. Thanks.
The Celtic players are only getting a chance to prepare for games, you know, with a hectic schedule, with the players away in international duty and that. So there's nothing to really worry about. You expect a wee kind of dip with the team performance. And that team today, how long did that team get a chance to prepare for a game? Dundee had a fortnight to prepare for a game, so I'm not worried about the game, you know.
Three players on the Celtic team today played international football. Three.
I think Cham was away with the 21s and so on. But
I mean, Jim, you know, the team had in midfield there Cham and Kouassi. £7 million they cost to bring to Celtic. The front four, Patrick Roberts, Sinclair, Griffiths,
McGregor,
you know, none of them played international. Well, Griffiths did, but,
point I'm making, Hugh, they're all away. They're not at home preparing for a game.
Listen, Jim,
the team performance is acceptable under these circumstances, I think. And we still win the game, you know. So I've not got a problem. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's saying it's unacceptable, Jim. But the only question I would ask you is, Do you really think that Celtic have any less preparation than anyone else? Because Bayern Munich, they had a full team away on international duty. They won 5-0 today. I'm looking at Man City, I'm sure they had a full international team away. They scored 7 goals today. So Celtic don't, it's not as if they've gotten less preparation than any other team in similar situations.
You mentioned two teams there. How much did eight teams cost? What kind of players have they got in comparison to Celtic?
Well, the gap between Man City and Stoke is probably smaller than the gap between Celtic and Dundee, is it not?
Man City's got better players than Celtic, have you know?
Yeah, but we're talking about,
know that, but as a comparison,
about who you're playing. I said to you, Cham and Kouassi cost Celtic £7 million. Two players cost £7 million.
When's the last time Kouassi played for Celtic?
What's that got to do with it?
He's been out injured.
He has been out injured, to be fair, Jim.
But he's fit to play. That's why Brendan Rodgers chose him today. And that you're right. Talking about the gap between Celtic and Dundee. Two of Celtic's players cost £7 million.
I wouldn't talk about the gap between the teams.
Listen,
you are talking about the gap. I'm talking about the time Celtic's got to prepare for games. That's the point I'm on about.
But that's what I'm saying, Jim. Other teams who have international players also have the same time to prepare for games.
Jim, it's a good thing that Celtic's not got a lot of time to prepare, because that means they're successful. That's first and foremost.
You can't praise the Celtic on this show.
Oh, come on, Jim.
Honestly.
You can't praise the Celtic on this show.
Hugh Keevans gets accused every week of praising Brendan Rodgers too much, but now Jim says that he doesn't praise Celtic.
The point that Murdo was making is that, of course, you have to
play a nice problem
of games
to have,
because you become victim of your own success. Jim takes that to mean that Murdo is disagreeing with the rest of us and sticking up for Jim's argument.
Jim's right. Yeah.
You cannot win.
But Jim, when you get international, when you've got the best players, most of the Scottish players in Scotland, they're the best players, they're all playing at Celtic just now, and it's difficult when at one point I think we had about six or seven starting in a game. So they're all Celtic players going out there. When they come back there, these guys, they love playing. They'd rather be playing in an international game and then the following week playing in a Champions League game than just training for a full week and doing nothing else.
Gordon Dalziel, did you recognise anything in the performance which suggests players were struggling?
No, I think that's nonsense. I don't buy that. But you've got to remember, Dundee had a big game in Mackay's testimony at St Johnston as well, so it took a lot out of their players. It was a case of the first half, Gordon. It was just missed chances. They started the game well. Roberts was on fire. You know, Griffiths had a good opportunity. McGregor should have scored. If they'd have scored the first goal in the first half, they'd have went on very comfortably and won this. They got a little bit slack, and that's what happens sometimes. And Dundee could have punished them, but they deserve to win it in overall chances. But I don't buy into this international break. You have to sit here and watch how that this team works. You even look at the guys who have not played today, and you would think they would come out and just do a loosen up and get a bit of stretching and a few runs. They've been working here for the last 25 minutes, and you should see the tempo of this training session. It's incredible.
Well, you know, to go back to Jim's point, is it fair that Celtic have to go from this game today to a Champions League match? Yes, of course it's fair. That is the price of success. You want to play in the Champions League. Celtic had six qualifying matches to get to the Champions League. They've had two so far against PSG and Anderlecht. They've had eight games more than their competitors in the Premiership. But that's because they want those eight extra games. They want to be successful. They want the Champions League money. So to talk about Celtic don't get enough time to prepare, it's nonsense.
Jamie's in East Kilbride. He's a Partick Thistle fan. I think he's a concerned Partick Thistle fan. Jamie, what's on your mind after that game?
Basically just want to speak about Alan Archibald's position and what yourself think. I think it's probably time for him to go. The results for the past 14 games have been unacceptable, and the last few performances, the team performance has been unacceptable, and I just can't see any way that it's going to change, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you what, stay on the line, Jamie. Let's hear from Alan Archibald, then we'll get a discussion going after that.
We knew how important the first goal was going to be, and it was a sore one to take. It came for a throw-in, was the biggest disappointment. We knew we were going to have a lot of the ball. We had an idea of how Kamalik was set up, and they did, and we just didn't move the ball quick enough. That was the biggest disappointment, to be honest. We took two and three touches at times, and we made it easy to play against. Kamalik must have enjoyed playing and defending that.
Was the reaction to the goals, did that disappoint you at all?
In terms of after it, or
in terms of after, yeah, not
the team. No, just the man on the goal. Once we're throwing, it's boys football stuff. It's a throw-in down the side and across. Niall does make a mistake, he puts his hand up, that happens, but dealing with the first bit is more important. The second one's a kick out, but it allowed Kamalik to go and play in the counter, which he'd done very well. Take nothing away from them. We were really poor.
Only five substitutes on the bench today. I mean, how much of the injuries have been?
Well, it's a big thing. I'm not going to use an excuse. The starting 11's a strong 11, without a shadow of a doubt. There's enough there to go and win the game. The injuries are a problem because they're all in kind of same areas with three or four fullbacks and midfielders all out. But we've got to soldier on. There's enough, and that, as I said, enough quality in that starting lineup to win the game, today's game.
You just need to keep soldiering on,
Alan,
just keep getting on with
what I'm having. Yeah, no, I've just got to go on, mate. We're not adrift as yet. The guys have got to take that on board, but they've got to stand up. It will only get harder to play against and deal with that pressure. They're playing at the home and you're at the bottom of the league, and the fans have rightly got on their back, but they need to keep on taking the ball at the right times. I thought at times it was still wanting to go and take it, and we didn't move it quick enough, and then it affects your decision making. That's the big thing. That's when you find out about character.
Fans obviously showed their anger at full time. I mean, is that what you need to sort of appeal to them, sort of continue giving their back and their support to sort of get you out of the situation?
Nah, the fans have been brilliant. They deserve to boo. They've just lost 2-0 at home, so in a massive game. So no, they've got everything entitled to boo. They get a wee bit impatient, and rightly so, but football players are paid to take the ball under pressure at good times and right times, so no, nothing to say to the fans.
Jamie's on the line, wants to know your thoughts, guys, on Alan Archibald's future. Jamie thinks he should go.
You know, it's a funny old game, as Jimmy Greaves used to say all these years ago. We're only talking about a matter of 3 or 4 months ago that Alan Archibald was the best thing since sliced bread. You know, getting Partick Thistle into the top six. you know, Thistle, they'd never done that for a long time, and he's the man, he's the main man. And then, you know, you get off to a poor start the following season, and, you know, you're under pressure, not only from your own supporters, you know, but from the board as well, I would imagine, because they cannot be happy watching what's going on. As I say, there's been a few chairmen this season who haven't given it a long time. They've decided, no, it doesn't look as if this is going to get any better, and they've decided, you know, to change the manager. Now, whether Partick Thistle do that or not is entirely up to them, but I would think he would be a wee bit unlucky, I think, Alan Archibald, if something like that was to happen.
Next Saturday, Partick Thistle are at home to Dundee. If Dundee were to come to Glasgow, win the match, they would be 8 points clear of Partick Thistle. That's a lot at this stage of the season. The rest of the teams around about Partick Thistle, Kilmarnock will get better under Stevie Clark. Ross County will get better under Owen Coyle. And as I say, if Dundee win, they'll be 8 points clear of Partick Thistle. Partick Thistle and Hamilton are in trouble. The two of them are in trouble. And it depends entirely on the attitude of Ronnie McDonald and Les Gray are. Yeah. At Hamilton Accies, and David Beattie and his board members at Partick Thistle.
Jamie, let me ask you then, the goodwill, if you want, that Alan Archibald undoubtedly built up with that top six finish, is that gone then in your eyes?
I mean, it's obviously it was a great season last season to finish top six, but he hasn't won a game in 14. It's a results driven business, and as I said, there just doesn't seem a way out of this. The performances the last two have been absolutely shocking. So, well, the last two especially. So I think personally it's got to be changed, but I can understand maybe given the sort of first quarter of the season, let all the games, the Dundee then Hamilton coming up, and then reassess, then I could understand that.
Great stuff. Thanks to Jamie and East Kilbride for that call. Partick Thistle fan understandably disappointed this evening. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. That's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line. 0141 951 1025.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson alongside me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I think Gordon DL's still hanging on in there at Celtic Park as well. It's not quite winter yet, so we don't have to send him on his way early. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to stay and listen to us. Is that right, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Yes.
Sounds like it.
No, I'm actually enjoying watching this training session. It's very interesting indeed, and I'll tell you what, they're going to put through their paces, this Celtic squad.
Good stuff. Well, Jim's a Celtic fan in Springburn. We'll get to him in just a second. We'll bring Gordon in for his thoughts, but in the meantime, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? A 1-0 win against Dundee. Here's what the manager made of it at full time.
I thought there was two parts of the game, and I thought in terms of performance we weren't as fluent as what I would like us to have been. You know, our possession of the ball wasn't up to what the level that we would like, but naturally when players are away and you come together as a group for the first time yesterday, you know, then sometimes you can lack that wee bit of cohesion really. So I thought in parts of the game we were creative, you know, first and second half, and looked dynamic at times and always looked a threat, but in other times we were too loose, we were passing. So in terms of performance wise it was okay, but what we have is an incredible mentality. You know, I said to the players before the game, we're getting into running fixtures now, and champions do that a little bit extra. You know, you have to step up, lot of games, lot of concentration, and lots of changes for us today. So, and I thought, bearing all of that in mind, to get the result, keep a clean sheet, see the game out, and get the 3 points, it was absolutely a brilliant result for us. And I was pleased with the result today.
Got a chance to see some players that we don't see very often. I worked particularly about Doris Kapriza, Christian Gamboa.
Yeah, and again, that was another positive for us today. You know, you think of the players that we have out, the players to come in, Abu Kawase getting his first games of the season, so that was great. Christian Gamboa has gone halfway around the world to play in World Cup qualifiers come back. I thought he was excellent today. And Doris de Vries, I think you see why, in a game like today, why I have him in. I think it's a testament to how professional he is, how hard he's worked. It's been virtually, what, probably about a year or so since he last played in terms of in competition. Last game was against Sunderland away, where he was excellent. And this was a nice game for him to come into, and I think he showed that he didn't have a great deal to do, but towards the end when the ball was coming in around the box, he showed his agility and showed his concentration to make the saves. So So, yeah, so for all those guys coming in, having not played so much, I thought they did very well.
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers sums it up perfectly there, that Celtic did lack the cohesion, the passing was loose, they weren't as fluid as he would like to see, but the mentality was strong enough to get them through.
Let's see what Jim, the Celtic fan in Springburn, makes of it. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks, man, for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What do you got to say?
I would just like to say that although one of the last callers was saying about all the games coming up and stuff, it happens all over the planet.
Yeah.
Real Madrid get it, Juventus get it, Barcelona, Man United, Man City, etc., etc. They've all got the same set of games they go. And it's well known that the Champions League follows the qualifiers, etc. And I think Celtic should, the Celtic fans should not be complaining. And I'd like to thank Brendan Rodgers for changing it up a wee bit and resting players and giving them a chance to get together for the most important game.
Yeah, it's perfectly straightforward, Jim. You know, players play for their respective countries. Christian Gamboa away with Costa Rica, the Scottish boys in the team, those who go like Tom Rogic to Australia and so on and so forth, they're in their national teams because they're good. They're good playing for Celtic, therefore they get picked for their national sides. Celtic win the league, therefore they play Champions League qualifiers, six of them, and then they have to go into the group stage. More games, but that's because they're successful. The matches come in quick succession because Celtic are successful. The alternative to that is for Celtic to be unsuccessful. Then the players have got all the preparation time they like.
But then again, sure, if you're going to be successful, you've got to play these games. And you never hear Juventus or Real Madrid moaning about the games coming thick and fast.
But remember, you know, it's Jim. Jim's another regular caller to this programme, and he cannot be objective when it comes to Celtic. Everything is a conspiracy. Referees are against Celtic.
I never said that.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the previous caller who was also called Jim.
Got the same name, a bit confused.
Right, sorry.
He cannot be objective about Celtic. Either it's a referee conspiracy against Celtic or Celtic don't get enough time to prepare in between matches. It is nonsense, and you've just highlighted the nonsense. You're the sensible Jim. The other one is the paranoid Jim.
Gordon, assuming
they
come through this training session, I mean, we would be amazed if Stuart Armstrong and Scott Brown didn't play on Wednesday night. Is that a safe assessment?
Yes,
or certainly Scott Brown.
Yeah, and Scott Brown certainly. I've got to say, and I'll give them all the credit in the world. They're doing these runs. I think it's about 8 second runs, and the rest of the boys are going three quarters. Scott Brown's absolutely given everything, so he's desperate to be ready for Wednesday night. And by the look of him just now, he will be a certain starter because he looks fit.
Gordon, do you think if Scott Brown had been available to play against Slovenia last Sunday, we'd be in the playoffs?
I just don't like Wednesday night, Hugh. I don't like resting everything on one player. I think it's too big to do that. But he's certainly an important player. You watch Celtic today, and without him, they're a completely different side. They've done enough to win today. They created chances. But when he's there and they go below par for 15 minutes just before half-time, their passing was awful. And I think that's what Brendan Rodgers was touching on. When Scott Brown's in the middle of that park, he doesn't let that happen. He demands better standards. And if you just watch his guy training, and as I say, professionalism is different class. The rest of them are doing three quarters. He is absolutely blasting every run. He's given every single thing he's got. And that just shows you the difference. And that's why he's had the career he's had.
Doris de Vries was speaking to the media after the game. Gordon, I don't think we're going to have time to squeeze his comments in. Want to take another call while we can. I take it you were impressed with the way he managed to come in. We've really not seen a lot of him in recent times. But I suppose the other side is, even if he was good, it still could be another long time before we see him again.
Yeah, he'll not take over as number one. I did criticise his kicking a little bit in the first half, Gordon. I thought it was poor. He was brought up for that because he was apparently very, very good at that. That was his part of his game. Second half, Paul McGowan, what a save he's had from him. Deacon really should score. But take nothing away from De Vries. He made himself big and caused a little bit of panic to the Dundee player. But he had a good second 45, you've got to say. He's done himself no harm.
Let's get back to the phone lines while we can then. Hopefully squeeze in one more call. Stephen Moore is in Cardonald. Good evening, Stephen.
Hi there. Good evening. Good evening, sir. I'm phoning to speak to Hugh because I feel as though that Hugh is trying to promote Scottish football to an extent that there's no any great football in Scotland. For the simple reason, he's promoting the fact about all the good managers we have and what have you. The only kind of half decent manager in Scotland is Brendan Rodgers, and he said that the Celtic board pushed the boat out to get Brendan Rodgers and spent £3 million. Can I also add that is a total of probably about £60 million they got for the European game, and I just feel as though he's trying to promote football in Scotland. He said last week after the Scotland game that we've got to use the young players that's coming through the Celtic, which is good. I totally agree with. And he says on the radio today that Scotland missed Scott Brown. It just seems a bit strange that one minute he's saying one thing, the next minute he's saying another.
Well, that's not the case. Scotland did miss Scott Brown. Celtic missed Scott Brown today. Yes, young players like John McGinn at Hibs and Callum McGregor at Celtic, of course their time has come when the national side is concerned. And Brendan Rodgers brought in £60 million over two seasons for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers' wage, I understand, is in the realms of £2.5 million, not including bonuses. So I really don't know what you're on about, if I'm frank. There are good coaches. Stevie Clark, who's now joined us at Kilmarnock and joined the Premiership, he spent years working under Jose Mourinho and Kenny Dalglish. This is a man of the highest pedigree.
Derek McInnes.
Yeah, Derek McInnes, yeah. Neil Lennon, a man who took Celtic to the last 16 of the Champions League. Owen Coyle, who's managed in the Premier League down south. The division is full of top class coaches. You're havering.
There are, well, Hugh Keevan says Stephen Moore is havering, but that doesn't mean we don't thank you for the last call of the evening, Stephen. That was Stephen in Cardiff.
This, you want a new car? Get one today. But you should do your research, get a good price, and trade this one in. This needs to be a sensible and informed decision. Oh, get a nodding dog for the dashboard! Woohoo!
At Motorpoint, get a low mileage car both sides of your brain will love without all the research. All our cars are under 3 years old and still under warranty. You could even drive it away today. Head to Motorpoint Glasgow or motorpoint.co.uk.
You'd like to think you'd never be falsely accused. You'd like to think your lawyer would be effective, loyal, and above all, fearless. But when it's your employment, reputation, and liberty on the line, don't think. No. Contact me, Gary McAteer, at beltrameandcompany.co.uk. Beltrame and Company, criminal law firm of the year, 2 years running. Don't wait till it's too late.
Everyone is different. From religion to race, disability to sexual orientation, and transgender identity. So why would verbal abuse, assault, spitting or harassment be acceptable? You don't always have to call the police. You can help put an end to it by reporting it at www.hatecrimescotland.org. Don't stay silent about hate crime. Report it.
Is your car feeling sluggish? It could be your engine clogging up with dirt. Over time, BP Ultimate with active tech.